What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy, Liam Callan. Welcome back.
Thanks. I was thinking about this the other day. Was it like 4 years since the last time I was on this podcast?
Really?
Probably. I think it was the
It was the
after
tour.
You guys came back from
the
tour.
Yeah. So it was pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was the last time.
Wow.
That's been too long.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. We'll get straight into it. We'll do a quick gig breakdown for the week. Liam didn't do any gigs this week, so
he's winning at How to Not Comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm doing comedy.
Succeeding. I've got a uni gig next week, so I've like which I've already been paid for, so I've made money without doing comedy at all, which is
the goal.
It's great. It's great.
Excellent. Yeah.
Which is the difference to us, which is we've actively lost money.
What, with the No Holds Barred show? You didn't lose money on that, did you?
No, we cut even.
Yeah.
Cut evener. But we got everyone paid, which is the goal.
Yes.
Pay your fucking axe, cunts.
That's always helpful.
We say it, say it every week now.
So you got a uni gig coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. It was... It's weird because this is my first time I've actually done a gig where it's just me. Like, I'm not part of, like, a showcase or, like, something like that. Like, they called me up and they said, hey, do you want to do this gig? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, oh, we'll pay you. And it's like, great. And it's like, how much should we pay you? And I'm like, fuck, I don't know. And then you're at that point where you're thinking, What number can I give them that they'll please say, start, yeah, that's a reasonable number.
Start high and work like, down.
Yeah.
I want $10,000.
So I won't say what number I settled on, but it was like, I feel like I could have asked for more.
How long are you doing?
I'm only doing 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So if I had done longer, I probably would have tried that. But it was that weird position where I was like, it also feels like fucking rude. It's like, you tell me how much you're going to pay me and I'll tell you whether or not that's enough money. Don't make me beg and say, hey, can I have this much money?
Yeah.
What's your budget?
Yeah.
Good question to ask.
It's also annoying too, because if you throw out like, it's like you've come to me, you've got a budget in mind, just tell me what you're willing to fucking accept and then I'll say yes or no. Don't like come to me, be like, oh yeah, what's your number? And then like also because you're worried like if you throw some fucking crazy big number out there, they'll just be like, oh yeah, no, we'll get back to you, and then they'll just move on, like they won't even try and negotiate.
Yeah, that's the thing. And also I think this person has just gotten, like, the person that usually ran their stuff has left, so this is a person like it's her first day.
So
she had no idea how to do anything, so I'm like, I can't tell you how to do your job. This is like, this is new to me too. So you need to ask someone, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a uni comedy night sort of thing.
Oh, it's things like some sort of like debate and some debates happening. And I guess I'm doing like 20 minutes in the middle while they're tallying votes. I don't know. I don't know what's happening.
Crazy.
Not as crazy as Joel Pierce's gig that he got offered.
Oh yeah,
have you heard about this? He got offered to do, was it an Indian wedding?
No, Indian birthday. Surprise birthday party.
Complete strangers. Not people. That's insane.
The message that he got sent is absolutely wild. It's just like,
we're gonna read it out.
Have you got it up? Yeah.
Hi Joel, thanks for reaching out to me. It's my husband's 40th birthday, which is a surprise to him. We're from Indian background/culture with religion as Hindu, and my husband is very religious. And I guess a majority Indian Asian on that day. What I expect from you is a neat, clean comedy suitable to all ages and mainly our culture, which does not contain any offensive content related to age, culture, religion. My husband loves watching comedy shows/movies/cartoon shows. His name is Nilesh.
And you've asked Joel Pierce.
Yeah.
Of all the people.
Wow. That is. It's like.
Yeah. He's got to bring his own mic. It gets better.
Look, I'm sure he's not going to need a microphone for wherever this is.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, when you turn up, yeah, go to the kitchen, sort yourself out, bring your own microphone. Just fucking hell. So, yeah, they want a comedy show where there's no comedy.
Yeah, so you don't want to talk about age, religion. They say sex. So they put all, like, all the, like, the... Yeah. It's like,
yeah.
We don't want to talk about people's differences or
what
makes them unique. Is, oh, okay, so...
How would you even do that?
Yeah. How?
Like, oh man.
You don't know. Yeah. You don't know. All you know is his name and his age at this point. That is not enough to go on in terms of information to like be able to do like a comp. If it's for him,
yeah.
Then you would think that you'd want to tailor the comedy show around him in some way.
Yeah.
So he feels like it's a gift for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you know nothing about this person and you can't talk about any aspect of this person's life, what can you talk about?
Well, you can talk about sex. They didn't take that off the table, obviously, because they invented Kama Sutra. So they're like, look, just talk about sex.
Yeah. But then after that, you know, at that point, it just becomes like some sort of like weird book club where you're in the Kama Sutra going, how about this one?
guys. You try this one yet?
Yeah. It's his 40th. It's a surprise party.
That was a weird phrasing, which is it's 40th, which is unknown to him. Like, he is unaware that he is turning 40.
Yeah. It's,
like...
it's a surprise. Oh, I'm 40 this year.
Wow. So it's like, maybe that's the thing, is like, don't do anything specific about him because he has no memory.
Yeah.
He does not know who he is. If you bring up any information about him, he will get confused.
He
will lash out.
He's got dementia.
Yeah, early onset dementia. He's actually 80, but he thinks he's 40.
Well, he's fucking Joel. Well, he's going to fucking die soon. So anyway, I hope he gets reincarnated as a cow.
Someone heckles him. He just destroys them.
And so... do we know if she's like, this person has like seen Joel perform and thought, okay, yeah, you're the guy. You're the guy I should contact for this? Or just.
It was through some online booking thing like that you can sign up for to get booked for gigs.
Yeah.
And they probably just went for the first person they saw. Or
But truly on that sort of site, don't they have like a brief breakdown of the person? And it's like, hi, I'm such and such. This is kind of the... Yeah. If you hire me, this is the sort of thing that you're going to get.
You would think, like, but I haven't signed up for any of those, so I don't know how it works. But yeah, it's crazy.
Right, you know, you put like... I do balloon animals, like, you know, I do face painting, you know, it's like, I got some killer knock knock jokes that are going to knock the socks off your kids.
It sounds like they want a magician. Like, a magician would be perfect to, like, do some bad comedy in the middle of, like, surprise.
Just as he likes comedy, but then doesn't state what kind of comedy that he likes. Like, saying that you like comedy is like saying, hey, you're a musician, my husband loves music.
Yeah.
Come to music.
Yeah.
It's like, well, what music does he like?
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're a heavy metal band.
Yeah, Joel's pretty much heavy metal.
I feel like that's not going to work. Yeah. You know? He loves to laugh. He loves funny things. Can you do funny things?
Yeah, you are. Like, also, who doesn't love comedy? Like, that's another thing.
That's some people are saying, like, I don't love music, or, like, I don't love movies, like, stuff like that. There's even some people that's like, I don't like food. It's like, I only eat because, you know, obviously.
I have to,
You know, I have to. It's like, for me, it's a chore. It's like, and yeah, it's weird, but but it does, every time I do meet someone that says, I don't like comedy and I don't like jokes or being funny, it's... I always look at that person and it's like, I don't want to judge, but I feel like you're broken in some way. There's something broken within you that you can't enjoy. Like, I know that there's some people that are like into comedy and they're like, they're fucking joking all the time and they're exhausting. And I get why people don't like those type of people.
Yeah.
But just like, never?
Yeah.
Just never a light moment? Never just like thinking like, oh, this is slightly absurd, or it's like, oh, we're having fun. It's just never?
I hate to laugh is what basically what you're saying.
I hate noticing things and being tickled by them. Yeah. It's like, who would like feeling that way and then also hold it as a badge of honor? It's like, yeah, I'm unaffected.
Yeah.
I'm unaffected by funny things.
Well, apparently it's people who don't like comedy are the ones who produce comedy festivals. And
well, they're great at organizing. They love Chart. Nothing funny about a Chart. They get it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you, like, run a fringe festival, you probably hate comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but love. Oh, love a plan. Love a, love a spreadsheet. Love a... Oh.
Yeah.
Love a schedule.
Yeah.
The way that I can suck money out of people. That,
yeah.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. If you, the one thing you've got to be into is money if you're running a fringe festival. Mm. That's the number one goal. Yeah. We're talking about, we won't mention the particular comedian or the festival or anything, but they wanted to film one of their gigs, and this festival came back with this crazy list of demands, plus you had to pay money. And it's like, you're paying money out of your own pocket to be at this festival, and then you've got to pay extra to film it.
Mm.
So it's like, yeah, this is fucked. Like, yeah, we need to rise up. We need to stop doing these fucking festivals. That's what we need to do. We need to stop doing these festivals and start our own.
You can do a festival. It's fine. You can still do the festival, but you have to be aware that most people... maybe break even or lose money on the festival.
No, you don't do the festival, and you kill anyone who turns up to the festival.
Okay, Mitch's
you attack them with an axe
to the Melbourne Comedy Festival.
I feel like even then you won't get enough people. You know what the axe is like? Oh, listen, I only killed 5 people this week.
And they're like, that's a great show for a festival.
You know, there's some people at festivals would kill to get that number of casualties under their belt, you know? Yeah.
It is crazy.
Like, I don't know, my mate's getting like 20. He's getting like 20 fucking a day.
It is crazy, though, because I'm like getting to the stage where I'm like, I've got probably nearly half an hour that I would be all right with doing a split bill. And it's like, do you take that half an hour and go down to a festival and do it? And then you're like, oh, they want money for the room hire. They want money for the advertising and postering and stuff like that, which doesn't seem to work. Like,
my advice would be do it at least once. Just do it for the experience. That's for me. I would do it, and then I've done a bunch of things. And it's like, after once, like, you know, after doing it once, it's like whether or not you can make this work or whether it's worth your while. It's because it's fun at the start when everything is new. But there's a couple of times where I have, unwisely done something for a second time, thinking I'd get a different result, and the result was the same, and it wasn't as enjoyable.
Yeah. Because
it's like, oh, no, this is just a bad habit now. This isn't just a weird experience that I can just, share with my friends. It's just like...
You did Edinburgh. You went over there, didn't you? With James and Luke? But
did Edinburgh. We went to Edinburgh. We didn't get a venue, but we had already bought tickets, so we just went over there. We did some... like Carl Legacy sorted us out, and we did like a few random sets at some places, but nothing official.
Yeah,
but it didn't cost you an arm and a leg in terms of like venue hire and things like that to go over there and do it. Like,
no, just the
travel
airfares and stuff, like and
accommodation.
That was actually really fun. We had like a fucking killer Airbnb.
I would go do that. Like, and you could even do that in Melbourne. Is just go down there. I kind of did it the last one because I just happened to be in Melbourne when it was on. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll go to a couple of shows. I didn't gig on any of them because I was only there for a couple of nights. But, like, if you went down there and you're like, hey, I'm going to be down here, can I, like, get on some showcases or whatever? Like, I'm around, just hanging around, jump on some shows. Well, it's probably the best way to do it if you're going to get started into it. Just be a leech.
Yeah. My advice, do it at least once and do it with some other people. Like,
Split
have someone, that, like, at least, because even that... If it gets shitty or it gets weird, you at least have someone there to look over and go, this is fucked, right? And go, this is fucked. Yeah, this is a bit fucked.
We paid how much to advertise this thing through the comedy festival website and posters and stuff, and 5 people turned up? Fuck me.
Yeah, because like that's the worst feeling. The worst feeling is when you have, like, it's a shitty situation and it's just you. And you've got no one there to bitch or moan to or even joke about how fucked up the situation is.
Yeah.
Like, I remember...
Oh, one sec.
Did that computer just turn off?
No, I just went to screen saver mode. Okay. I'll check it anyway.
Yeah, just check it, just in case the recording's fucked out, but it should still be rolling. Is it still going?
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Okay. Sorry to break the flow.
No. Oh, I remember exactly where I go because I'm talking about trauma, and trauma never leaves you. It's always there, buried deep. I remember when, you know, I'd go down to Sydney and do gigs, and I'd go down and do my 5 minutes, and I'd fucking bomb.
Yeah.
And I'd go back down, back on that train, that late night fucking train.
Yeah.
By myself. And I used to be able to measure how good a set went depending on what point of the trip home I got fed up.
Yeah.
And sometimes it was even before I got to Central. It was like, I want to be home now.
Yeah.
It's like, but oh God, they were some, I would never want to relive that experience again. It's just feeling shitty. And then at random points during that trip, just having someone come on wearing no shirt, a high vis vest, and a sack that's just wriggling. And it kind of clocks me, and it's like, oh, don't worry, it's just a pigeon from a snake. And I'm like,
sure,
that doesn't make me feel any better. Although I'm less worried about my set now. I'm now more worried about this guy.
What's in the bag?
Yeah. The now. That's the worst thing. I know what was in the bag, and what was in the bag terrifies me.
Just a pigeon for my snake.
Yeah.
Like, where's the snake?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in the bag too. It's like, oh, sweet.
That the number of people that would run through carriages asking me if I wanted to buy a phone.
Yeah.
It's just like, I know. I'm not going to buy a phone from you.
Yeah, I'm not buying a phone from the second carriage when I'm in the sixth. They're going to come looking for it. I know you just stole that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Who the fuck buys? Who's gonna buy that? Like, who the fuck is like, oh yeah, sweet. Just got an awesome bargain on this lady's new phone.
So yesterday we were filming Bland Designs.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
can we talk about that? It's not out yet, but
No. I have to talk about it.
Yeah. So filming at Luke and Elliot's shack, I'll call it. I'll describe it as a shack.
It is the level of decrepitude of that, that's not even a word, but it's like you need to create a word to describe how dilapidated
it's
that
a crypt.
Place. Like, I don't feel bad talking, bad mouthing it because they're leaving, they're going to a better place, but that place.
In Cromulent.
Yes. It's so bad.
Yeah.
You could film, it's one of those places where it's like, so like there's so many like levels of badness in that, like, you could film this angle and it's like, oh, this is some third world country, and then you'd film over here and it's like, oh, this is like some it's like an industrial area, so you know, and it's like, it's it's got several levels of aesthetics going on. None of them good.
Yeah.
All of them very, very sad and bleak.
You're just like, fuck.
Yeah. It's literally just a place to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And they're being charged like an ungodly amount of rent for this place, and it is like falling apart. And thank fuck they're getting out of there. I think they're moving in like a couple of weeks. So it was good to get in, get it filmed. Well, they still got access to the...
I mean, it was a perfect location.
Yeah.
It was a perfect location for what we were doing, but it's...
Yeah.
That fucking idea, Bland Designs, it's such a great idea.
But the idea, like, have you ever watched an episode of Grand Designs before?
Yes, yeah.
It's such a weird show because you should hate it.
Yeah.
Because it's a bunch of rich fucks with too much money and too much time on their hands that are building a house that has never been built before in some isolated village in the middle of nowhere. And the most interesting thing that will happen in an episode is a bit of light rain will happen and they can't build for a while. that's it. That's
and they're in England, so yeah, yeah. It's light rain like, all the time. Yeah.
It's like, oh, this rain's slightly heavier than usual. I'm sorry, guys, we can't build right now.
Someone's going to have to push back a Gantt chart. Oh, no.
Yeah, they're like, we found an old 100-year silo. We're going to convert it into a living residence, and it's going to cost us £500,000 with inflation. Yeah. It's
like, yeah. This land used to belong to people who used to work with their hands for a living, but now we're just going to build this thing where we can have a child-free existence. Yeah.
And a rooftop
living
car
off
park.
The grid.
Yeah.
My ex, she got obsessed with Grand Design, so we were watching it all the time, and then she just wanted to renovate, but we were renting. So she's like, we moved into this apartment. She's like, I want to paint the apartment. I was like, what? She's like, I want to paint the apartment. I'm like,
do you know how rentals work?
I was like, and she's like, I want to put this and I want to do that. And I'm like, what? Like, and she didn't have a job. So this was just me paying for her. Like, yeah, dude. And I was like, all right, fine. I'll do it because I want to see your pussy. Like,
that's my Grand Design.
That's what happens. There's a dude with a missus, and she's got this fucking idea, and he's like, well, if I say no, I don't get to see her pussy. So we're just going to do it.
I guess we're painting.
Yeah. That's how all renovations start.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. So.
So did you end up painting the walls in your rental?
No, we broke up.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
Yeah, I was like, you know what?
I'd actually love to see that sort of renovation show. Will they do this or will they break up?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Taylor Cofter's joke about you thought you could tile the bathroom. Kids are getting two Christmases. Yeah. Sorry to fucking steal your joke there, Taylor, but yeah. It's a fucking good one.
No, that's all right. That's what we do in this thing. We're just out here stealing people's content.
Yeah, just putting it out for free.
Yeah, just...
behind a paywall.
Yeah.
Are we going to talk about that?
No.
We should,
but we won't.
Bradley the Bitch Bishop has decided. Look, fair credit to Bradley. Apparently,
stands
Mitch,
up for what he believes
apparently
in.
Mitch did not get consent that the show was going to go out on the Patreon for like the whole clip, like the whole show in its entirety. And Bradley was worried that like his bits are going out and he hadn't given consent, which I totally understand. Took it straight down because I was like, fuck, I didn't know. So that was fine. Pulled that. I'm going to have to edit around his section, which is doable because he was emceeing. So even if someone was doing a set, we could chop the set out. But anyway. He was like, yeah, no, I just don't want to burn my bits because I'm doing a festival show next year. I was kind of like, we were just talking about festival shows. I'm like, really? So
yeah, we'll just tell those five people not to watch and you'll be great. Yeah. You'll be good for that festival show. You know? Yeah,
exactly. Like of all the, you know,
of
if
all
we
the
get
reasons.
10 people that sign up for the Patreon with the No Holds Bar show, which is going to be up soon, to watch that show live, it's like $6 if you want to check it out. But, yeah, the tens of people that are going to sign up for that. I don't think there's any crossover between, you know, a festival comedy show that you're putting on and doing that material at and this Patreon. Like, no one's going to see it. And even if they do, no one's going to fucking care. Yeah. I think, like, as comics, we take it way too seriously. Like, oh, I don't want to burn my bits. I don't want to put my bits out.
Well, my only position is, like, I've asked, you know, because I've done, like, some sets at the club when they've actually filmed the show.
Yeah.
And I've just asked Brady, please don't release this joke because I haven't 100% figured it out yet. And I don't want a shitty version of this joke out there before I actually figure it out.
And when I started doing comedy, I didn't put anything out at all because I was like, I'm not happy with that. Like, I don't like that joke. Like, it's still very rough, like a work in progress type thing. And I think when you start comedy, like, you shouldn't be putting anything out. But then there's, like, this area in the middle where it's, like, all these people online are all putting out clips. Like, that's how they're getting followers and getting people to come to those festival shows is they're putting that out.
I don't know what the success rate of that is. Like, just any new set you're doing is you're filming and you're releasing, and it's like you're not giving yourself a chance to develop your bits enough. Like if you're just constantly releasing all in your material as soon as it's gone on your head and on your paper and it's like on stage and then online, like you don't have any chances. Like, well, we've seen this bit. It's just like it's like, well, now you have no opportunity to actually build the bit or like work on it because they've already seen it in its sort of like early stages, and they may have, you know, you may have like all the bits that are necessary to make the joke work.
Yeah.
But joke maybe you haven't found the right alchemy yet. So it's like, oh, these bits are there.
Yeah.
But we just haven't arranged it in the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you've already revealed the secret sauce at that point. So even when you get it right, it's like, well, we kind of already saw this joke
before. Yeah.
It's like, well, no, but now it's good.
Yeah.
Like, appreciate it. You know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people do appreciate, like, there's a lot of comedy fans out there
who sort of know
how it works.
At this stage, everyone knows that it's not you just making it up there.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You still occasionally. Like, you know, obviously there is a dedicated comedy fan base that loves comedy, listens to comedy, listens to people talk about comedy, listens to, like you know, podcasts about comedy. But there are some people that it would just, you know, just like, oh, these guys are just naturally funny, and they've decided to make a career out of just being funny. And
not realizing
we're not just like, we are funny, but like there's more effort into it than just being funny. Like we work on this.
So look, fair credit to Bradley Bishop. He's made some good points. I should have been clearer about what we were going to do with the show. On the other side of the thing, like, we put on the show, we advertised the show, we filmed the show, we edited the show. Ethan spent, what, 10, 15 hours editing?
Like
10 hours editing the show. We're going to use the clips for advertising, all of that stuff, and, like... We're not just doing it out of the goodness of our hearts. Like, we're trying to create
content.
But
this is the part I don't get. It's like he was okay with us putting the clips out for
advertising,
but he wasn't okay with us putting a full show behind a paywall. It's like more people are going to see the clips.
Yeah.
Way more people are going to see the clips of advertising, and which you're cool with. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, at the end of the day, people's material is their material, and they can decide what they want to do with it.
Yeah.
If they don't want it, then 100%, I'll pull it down.
Yeah, and it's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
But now everyone signs waivers. Everyone signs a fucking waiver. I had an argument with Ethan's roommate over it. He's, he called me this morning. He's like, because now we're doing waivers, like an acknowledgement that, yes, we're going to be putting this material up online and we're going to be charging people for it behind a paywall on Patreon. Yeah.
Are they signing a waiver or is it just...
No. It'll just be...
Send them a thing that goes like, this is what's happening. It's in black and white.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You send
By accepting this gig, you accept these terms and conditions of the show.
It kind of sucks when you know... Because like, we're all at the stage where we're sort of going from being sort of like amateur comics just doing this to like... essentially semi-professional comics. And then the business part of it gets into it. And then it's like, it gets in an awkward stage where it's like, yeah, we're friends. So we kind of like have to treat this like a business as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, that sometimes means doing stuff that feels just sign this. Don't you trust me? It's like, well, yes, but I need the coverage, like just help me out here, sort of. You know.
Yeah. And look, I love Bradley. He's one of the funniest comics getting around in Newcastle, if not the funniest. Honestly, he's got a lot of great material, and his crowd work he's probably the best at crowd work in the Newcastle comedy scene as well. Which is like you should be putting those clips up.
That's the other thing. Yeah. I was like, brother, your set that you did was 80% crowd work.
Yeah.
What bits are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did like every bit of his.
I saw him do a gig a couple of weeks ago now. Yeah. And his crowd work was insane.
Yeah. 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 It's like he should just be putting that stuff up. And yeah. Anyway. So, like, it is what it is. It was a hard lesson to learn. I felt fucking awful when it happened because it's like I look like I was just sort of stealing this guy's bits or whatever, but it wasn't that. It's just there's so much to there's so much to fucking think about and to do when you're putting on these shows as well. It's another thing, like, yes, the Newcastle Comedy Club's there and it's all set up, but, like, we're going to make sure that, like, everything's running, making sure all the advertising's going up, making sure all the comics are turning up at the right times on the day, like, everything. And, like, and there's that stress as well. Like, you're nervous.
Mm.
I was like, I was fucking shitting bricks because I was like, I want to get everyone paid. Like, I want to pay everyone.
Mm.
And if people don't turn up for this show, then, like, fuck, we're fucked. Like, yeah. So, like, made the decision, me personally, not to even be on the show. So I fucking, I did all the legwork and I wasn't even on the show. Because it was just like, I can't afford to pay myself and we're running low on time and this is the goal we had, which was a show where comics can do 15 minutes of fucking whatever material they want, completely no holds barred. But you fucking get up there and you can say whatever you want. It does not matter. And on the night, the fucking crowd was insane. It was so good. It was such a good show because they were there to watch a show where they were like, we're sick of this fucking PC shit. We're sick of, like, people having to, like, censor themselves and, like, pretend that, like, we've got to – like, people pretend to take offense at shit just because they know that, like, you shouldn't say that. Like, it's not actually hurting their feelings or whatever. And they turn up – people will turn up to these shows to cause issues or to get offended at comedy shows, whereas we put on this show and everyone was ready. Like, the way I was advertising it, I was doing sets and I was like, I'm selling this show. Do not buy a ticket if you're a fucking pussy. That's how I was advertising it. And as soon as I said that, there'd be like three dudes on their phones buying tickets as I said it. Like, I'm no fucking pussy. I'm coming to this fucking comedy show, motherfucker. Like, and it was great. And people rocked up. Mitch and the outrage awesome.
Merchant.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Absolutely cornered the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dough heads who are like, oh, yeah, no, I'm tough. I'll turn up.
Yeah.
I'm not offended by anything.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because it's exactly what I'd do.
Those dudes are definitely offended by things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, fingers in places.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Everyone has their thing that they're upset by. Mine is bad comedy.
Yeah.
Luckily, there was none of that on the night.
No. No, it was great. Well.
But yeah,
it was great.
Everyone was funny.
Everyone
It was hard to write bits for that. Like, I did a lot of new stuff just
right,
for that
show. Right, yeah, that's what I was going
to
ask
you. No, I was looking forward to your dead baby material and you didn't do any of it.
Well, I figured that it's just like, it's kind of hack.
Was there a dead baby in the crowd and you just chill?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, read the room.
Someone brought a fetus. Oh, fuck, not again.
Yeah, so, that was. I was just like, God, these jokes are like the ones that you read on the internet that is just like, oh, what's the worst part about fucking 21-year-olds? Or the best part, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, there's 20 of them. Like,
yeah.
It was like that tier of joke, and I was like, I'm better than this.
Right.
This is shit.
Nah, I reckon it would have killed.
It probably would have.
Yeah.
They would have loved that shit. But yeah. I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy. I don't want to do that shit.
Pussy.
Not pussy at all. I'd go up there on Tuesday. I'll tell all those jokes. It's just not my style of comedy.
Yeah.
And not how I write.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm really happy with the jokes that I wrote for it because they are a bit fucked.
Mm.
But like, I feel like in all of them, like, there's kind of a point that I'm making.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel the exact same way. Like, there's just sometimes where it's like you write something and they say, oh, should definitely do that joke on stage. Where in my mind, it's the equivalent of just like scribbling something on a napkin. It's like, I'm just doodling right now. Like, I'm not, I had no intention of making this something more than what it is. That is just, this is just a random shit that I'm going to take this napkin, I'm going to scrunch it, I'm going to throw it away because that is how much I care about it, how much it's worth to me.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, some people just say, yeah, no, it's funny. You do that on stage. People love it. It's like,
No,
it's interest.
Not my style.
No interest in doing it whatsoever. Because the worst thing that could happen is, like, you do it, and you get the biggest laugh that you've ever gotten, and I would just be so fucking angry after that. It's
like, you're like, I hate this joke. Like,
I have worked this routine of mine. I have cultivated a voice.
Yeah.
And this thing that I wasn't even thinking about fully, this thing that I didn't even spend, like, a fraction of my brain power on, you're just lapping it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like when you get when you write a new joke and the punchline's not where you expected it. You're like, you work on the punchline doesn't land, and you're like, what the fuck? Like, or they'll laugh at the setup more than they will at the punchline.
I always find that like a happy realization when you do something and you'll just say, or even just something that you thought was just filler. This is just a filler line. It's like just connect from part A to part B, and you'll say it. And they'll laugh at that. It's like, oh, that's a funny thing you've just said. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a weird fuck. Because I thought this was a completely normal thing to say, and there was nothing funny or unusual about it. And the audience going, no, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot to talk about this when we were talking about Blend Designs filming it yesterday. We were in Birmingham Gardens, is it?
Yeah, Birmingham Gardens.
So near Jesmond, and apparently just a notoriously shit spot.
Yeah,
full of shit people.
One, it's either adjacent to or is one of the worst suburbs.
Yeah,
in Australia.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. And we were out the front filming, and every 10th car that drove past, just yobbos yelling shit out of the window. One of the dudes barked like a dog.
Yeah.
My favorite one was, freaks! You're all freaks! Freaks!
I would love to be in the car after that happened just to hear what they said to their mate.
Like, yeah.
Good one, man. You got him.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell. I left straight away after that because I was so angry at the world. I was just like, I fucking hate these people so fucking much. Like, I want to go on a fucking spree right now. This is fucked up.
When you think about it, it's like, where are you driving to? You know, you can't have plans.
One of them,
you can't
turn
have somewhere that you need to go.
They turned around and came back to yell again.
Yeah. you're literally just looking for people to bark.
This
at.
Is how that you're is, spending your Saturday.
Your day.
Yeah. Like, oh my fucking god. These future single dads just driving around.
What do you mean future?
Current single dads.
Yeah.
Driving around. The ex-wife has the kids, and they're just like, fuck it. I'm just going to fucking scream out of a window at people.
She's just fucking at home in the kitchen, and then she hears some barking outside. Your dad's here. Come on, kids.
Fuck. It's so crazy, man.
I don't understand it. Like, why are those people the biggest cunts in the country? Like, it's all those fucking housing commission people. They're just, I deal with them at work all the time. They're always the difficult ones. It's like, if you're on fucking Centrelink on JobSeeker, you're going to carry on like a cunt. Like, and I don't understand it. Is it because they just get given stuff for nothing? Like, they don't have to work for it, so they don't have like an appreciation for other people's time and feelings and stuff like that? Or
no, it's just like years of trauma of being brought up in a terrible family situation and just having no structure and just being like, oh yeah, this is the world I live in and it sucks, so I'm going to take it out on you.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's like, yeah, I'm so glad my fucking tax money pays for your ability to call me and be a cunt right now. Like, yeah, 30 cents out of every dollar that I earn every single fucking day. Portion of that is going to that fucking piece of shit.
So you can afford the Hilux to yell out of the window at me.
Yeah.
On the way home.
Yeah.
No, there was mostly like people with like P plates and stuff that were driving past, I noticed. That were like yelling stuff out the window. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. You've got nothing else to do.
I mean, I have
I mean, petrol's fucking expensive right now, but apparently you've got enough like excess income to just drive around yelling shit at people.
Yeah. While you're smoking cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild.
You're spending half your income on petrol and cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other half on heroin.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yep. Hopefully. I've lost my train of thought. I was reading an article. There was this dude in America, he's fucking got chased by the cops serving a warrant. And he jumped in a river to get away from the cops and drowned. They found the body. They weren't even after him.
Really?
Yeah. It was like he ran from the cops and drowned.
So were they chasing him, or did he just spot them and started
running? Well, the thing with police is they're like greyhounds. So if they see something running from them, they've just got to chase it. They're like, obviously, yeah, this guy's done something wrong. But yeah, they were there to serve a warrant and this guy fucking drowned, and then they fished him out. Like, oh, this isn't the guy we're after. Whoops.
Wow. Yeah. He's obviously done some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guilty by association.
Yeah.
Or his actions.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I used to love it when I'd walk out of Kmart or whatever, and for whatever reason the alarm would go off. I wouldn't actually have anything on me I wasn't stealing. But I just run just to see the reaction of everyone around me. Just like, what the fuck? Oh, you stole something. But you can walk through those things. The alarm goes off. No one reacts. Mm. You can steal as much shit as you want. People won't actually stop you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, the amount of times I was like, I'll be going to like open my shopping bags to the security guy. You want to... Just want to just double check that I haven't got it. And he's like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. You're a tall, well dressed man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who steals stuff all the time.
Well, how do you think I'm this well dressed? Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm stealing clothes, motherfucker. Yeah.
I'm just showing you. Yeah. This is my trick. Yeah. You want a trick?
Yeah. 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 You're just showing them a bag of the old clothes you changed out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like at Bunnings when you've got an armful of stuff. Because
yeah.
I always end up with too much stuff.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that looks good. I'll just keep picking things up. And next minute, I've got an armful. And then I'm like, oh, here's the receipt. And they're just like, they just beep and they have a quick look and they're like, eh, it's probably fine.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like, not to mention, like, if they do try and stop you, like, they're not actual security guards. Like, they can't actually do anything except be like, please don't.
Well, even actual security guards can't physically restrain you.
No.
They just have to be like, stop, what's your name? And you're like, oh, Bradley Bishop. You keep on walking.
Yeah.
I've got it out for Bradley at the moment, only because I did heaps of editing that I now have to go and re-edit, but that's fine. It's all good. I'll do the right thing.
Yeah, fucking...
Oh, last night at the comedy club, Saturday Night Showcase, the Matildas were playing. So the first sort of like 10 minutes, so like holding off starting the show as long as we could because there was like 13 people missing. They were watching the end of the soccer, which went to like a penalty shootout, so that goes on forever. So it ended late.
Was that Australia-France?
Yes. Yeah. And... So we're like holding off, but there's the lockout of 9:30. So we're like, well, we got to start the show. And those people came in late, and it was kind of like weird for the first 10 minutes. People were struggling. It was a weird crowd. Luke did very well, and then before the break, so that was good. And then Elliot gets up in the second half. I think he went on second in the second half. Who else was it? Yeah, second in the second half, and absolutely destroyed the place. Like, the best set I have ever seen anyone lay down at the comedy club.
Wow.
Like, it was the best set I've seen there. Insane. And just the level that this crowd was at that he got them to from the previous act, who got some laughs but was by no means at this level, Elliot just fucking took it to the...
stratosphere.
The most insane level I've ever seen. And... at the same time, like, the crowd's getting rowdier because it's, like, going off so well. Like, they're all just, like, oh, getting heaps into it. And there's these two women in the front that are, like, chatting. And Elliot's like, I'm having a good set and you guys are fucking it up. He's, like, tearing shreds off them. And so he starts a little bit, like, going at him, and he's like, shut the fuck up. And then everyone's, like, going crazy. And then he ended his set on, like, saying something about them going home and doing more packet hair dye. And, like, you had to be there.
I know the ones he's talking about.
These two, like, Yeah, platinum blonde sort of girls in the front row.
Smoking.
Absolutely roasted them.
Yeah.
And they're all like hot chicks covered in tats and just like, yeah, we're the best. And he just fucking let them have it.
What if they've had a successful Elliot Stewart set, which always results in him shouting at some random woman? I'm trying to think, every killer set I think of Elliot is like, and sometimes they've asked for it, and other times they haven't asked for it. It's just some random bystander that he's just pointed to and it's like, you're a bitch. And it's like, what? Somebody?
Yeah. If Elliot turned into a school shooter, he wouldn't ever shoot the bullies. He'd miss the bullies and hit the bystanders.
Just the level that it went to after he roasted them was just like the Hulk crowd just went fucking insane. And then he was just like, all right, I'm done. I'm out of here.
See ya.
That's perfect.
Have fun following that.
Yes, and the dude that had to follow him, oh my God. Like, he was all right, got some laughs again, but just nowhere near what Elliot did. And it was just like, oh, I feel so sorry for that guy having to follow that. It was just like, no one could.
No
one could follow that.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was just magic to watch. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, he's getting good, man. And all of his new material. Like, forever. Like, Elliot had the same set forever.
Oh, like, we went on tour with him. The guy lost material. We all got, like, about an extra 5-10 minutes worth of material. He lost jokes.
Yeah,
and like, how do you manage that? It's just insane.
But, yeah, and now, like, he's obviously writing a lot, and all of his new material is, like, he was always hilarious, always really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hit another stride with his writing and his ability to string together punchlines and stuff like that, man. It's crazy to see. That's what happens when you own your own comedy club and can just do unlimited sets. You're just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I don't think he gets on every open mic, though. Like, I think James is still like, no, you're sitting this one out. It's like he's part owner of the club. Let the boy cook. It's very funny.
Yep.
You're like, no, you're in the same boat as all these other delinquents.
I'll talk about my weekend. I went and did some TV. Did a TV gig. I can't mention what it is. I've signed an NDA. It was a quiz show, and it was run by like one of my favorite comedians that we're editing all this. I'm gonna get sued.
They're gonna sue you on a podcast that no one listens to.
Yeah,
you can say that you went and did it. You just can't talk about anything within it there.
They specifically said, I read the NDA.
The NDA is that you just can't talk about
So anyway, listen,
you can tell your nan.
Yeah.
Just don't tell everybody.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, do not put it up on social media. Do not put it up on the internet. Do not mention that you're on the show.
Oh, if you're going to go into the show, then yes. We can't talk about that.
So I've fucking got up. Big day. I've got to go to Sydney. Got to get to fucking these studios. I'm a fucking piece of shit, so I never buy new clothing. So I was like, all right, go buy a new outfit, get this fucking nice little jacket, get a haircut, drive to Sydney, get a lift in from my brother.
You left this all till the day of?
To the day. Because I had time. It started at 1:30.
I had time. That's fine.
Yeah, I had time. I wanted a fresh haircut, and Big W is right next door, so fucking whatever. It's $50 for my outfit, and then get there. Fucking crazy big day. Like, each episode's like 20 or 40 minutes or something like that, and we were there for 9 hours.
Wow.
And you know the club's black fold-out chairs?
Yeah.
That's what we were on.
Yeah.
So back was just fucking killing me, like, just awful. And my one goal was just to meet this comedian. Fucking
did. Never gonna happen, dude.
I was like, nah. Fucking didn't get talked to. Made it pretty far in the game show. I was proud of that. Like, and it was cool to see. But I was like, fuck, dude, I am never doing that again. I am never ever signing up for anything to do with TV again. That was insane. And I was next to this fucking cunt. I was next to this fucking cunt, right?
Righto, Elliot.
So she's like, after every question, what'd you get? Oh, yeah, sweet. So I'm telling her. And then about halfway through the show, I think, one of the producers walks over to the other side and has a word with people like, hey, stop talking like so much. Like, please be quiet. We're actively filming stuff. Like,
yeah, people don't understand that, like, those mics pick up everything.
Not only that, we were all mic'd up. We all had microphones on us. Oh, well, like, then, yeah. Like, we're all wearing lapel mics. Yeah, okay. Like, so, and they warned us, like, you're always on camera. And as we're walking in, man, like, there's all these fucking curtains and cameras through curtains. So it's fucking all set up. So I was like, all right, sweet. And then towards the end of it, she's like, started getting really frustrated. She's like, ah, just started saying the answers out loud. During, like, there's a countdown. You got 30 seconds to answer a question. And she'd just be like, oh, 64. And, like, say it. There's a guy, like, in the fucking final three behind us. Like, he's got a shot at 100 grand. She just said the wrong answer out loud. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, every time she's talking, I'm getting, like, those twinges of rage that you get, like, where you're, like, about to uncontrollably explode sort of thing. I was like, oh, man. Like, I had physical reactions,
slowly,
dude.
Covering your mic. It's just like, I'm going to.
Yeah. So then.
The mute button.
So then the producer walks over, looks her dead in the eye. She's like, we can see you talking. We can hear you talking. There are people right behind you still playing. Please stop. And then she's like, I hope they kick me out. You fucking bitch. You fucking stupid cunt. Like, why did you turn up? Like, fuck you. Oh, man. And she got further in the competition than me.
You know what? She's talking it out. She's like figuring. Oh, man. You there?
Yeah.
Mute fuck that you were.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like,
you should have been asking her for the answers.
Yeah. I was just like, fucking.
So why didn't you get further through? You just didn't get enough questions, all right? Or?
So it's like it's a quiz show, and if you answer one question wrong, you're out. Like, right. That's it. And the people who got out in the first round, I cannot imagine how long that day was. Because you
have to stay, even if you're
out. You have to stay.
Wow. I would just get up and leave.
Yeah.
What are they going to do?
For what purpose? Like,
so that they've got a full crowd, because they need you to cheer and, like, all of that stuff. So,
It's like an open mic hostage situation.
It was like
you bombed on the first question.
Yeah.
You got to stick it through.
Yeah, but, like, granted, like, they put on a good show. Like, the comedian running the show is obviously a fucking, like, world-famous comedian. He did material for 8 hours straight and was killing the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, it was fucking cool to see. But even towards the end, even he was like, let's fucking go. Like, why are we reshooting that one? Like, they ended up, there was a situation with one of the questions, and because there's big money on the line, they've got, like, a dude who, like, runs the questions, and there's people, like, putting their hands up and being like, oh, yeah, like, I don't agree with that question. I think I got it right. And some people got put back in, and others, like, had arguments. And, yeah, it was fucking, like, it was pretty tense in certain situations. And then you've got the producer behind fucking arguing with the lady next to me being like, shut the fuck up. It's like, man. And then I got out. And I was like, all right, sweet. Check my phone at like 6 o'clock. My little brother's like, hey, dude, can't pick you up. I'm going out with my girlfriend. And it was like 9 o'clock. And I was like, I had to work the next day as well. So I was like, fuck, dude. I was like, the one time I just needed you to just like be cool and be there to pick me up. I really don't want to spend an hour like getting to the train station and getting on trains and then walking to your house. I was like, fuck, dude. And I'd already spent so much money getting there. I was like, I really didn't want to spend any more money. And then so I called him. I was like, hey, dude, can you pick me up? Like I'm fucked. It's been a big day. Like, he's like, oh, I was like, how many beers you had? He's like, oh, three. I was like, all right. Don't worry. He's like, no, I'll pick you up. I was like, you sure? Like, he's like, yeah. Sweet. And I'm like, relieved. Go to the pickup spot, get a phone call. Oh, hey, man. yeah, I'm not sure, like, I'll be safe to drive, actually. And then I can hear his new girlfriend in the background just be like, more parks a fucking big place and yarrow. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, she got in his ear and fucking talked him out of picking me up. I was like, that's a great first impression to make.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, cool. Yeah, sick. I was like, nah, it's all good. And it, like, and the whole situation was, like, we didn't agree that he was going to pick me up. But, like, it was sort of one of those things, like, because he might have got work. It's like, if he picked up, if he picked up work.
Should have made him sign a waiver, Mitch.
Yeah. Yeah, if he picked up work, it's like, oh, fair enough, you got to go make a buck. But he's like, oh, yeah, we're just going out. Fuck you. I was like, oh, shit. But he felt horrible. He's like, I'll buy you an Uber. I was like, nah, don't worry about it, dude. I'll fucking just catch my own Uber and go home.
Yeah.
And then he'd organized to leave my key on his door frame. And then I got there and he's like, oh, yeah, the key's up there. And then I'm like, I'm reaching up on the door frame and I'm like, I can't feel the key, dude. He's like, oh, it's up there. It's up there. And granted, this is the plan he's got for me to be able to find my car key and go home.
Mm.
So he's already put it up there as in his head he already has. And I'm like, it's not up there, dude. You grab it. You put it up there, you grab it. And then I walk inside, I look on the coffee table and there's my car key. So if he'd have fucking left early and gone out or we'd have shot even later, I would have gotten to his house and he would have left my car key on the fucking coffee table and I would have been fucked. Like, Jesus. I was just like, Jesus Christ, Tom. Like, what are you doing, dude? I was like, oh, well, it's good to see you again, bro.
You and your brother both do shit like that.
Oh, we're fucking menaces. Like, yeah.
On another planet half the time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I told everyone that we're going to be releasing all this online.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
That was the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah. You left the keys on the coffee table.
Yeah. In that situation.
It's just like, what can you do?
Oh, man. Oh, well. So, yeah. Lucky he didn't go out.
Yeah.
Because he would have been fucking coming home. I'm like, dude, my car's not here. You've got to come find my key, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to work tomorrow. So, yeah, that was a fucking whole thing. And I turned down a spot at the club. And you know what? I made a rule that I'd never turn down a spot at the club. And I broke that rule. And look what happened. I got what I deserved.
You just fondling a door frame looking for an invisible key. That was that's what you got.
Oh, man, that was such a long night. That was like a night where I was like, fuck, I hope I make it home tonight. I hope I don't have a micro sleep. I was like, I never drink Red Bull, but got a Red Bull on the way home. And then went to the Twin Servos and found out that Macca's has closed down. Like, fuck yeah.
Oh, they've already closed it?
They've already closed it and started renovations. Yeah, it's all gated off. There's nothing. Like, if you stop there at midnight, there's nowhere to eat.
I tell you what, Mitch Garling is going to be devastated.
Dude.
Because no one eats more nuggets at the Twin Servos. So,
what is it because... So the Macca's is going for good, right? It's not coming back? Do we know what to replace it?
I heard, like, Hungry Jack's or some other fast food chain going to be there instead.
Mm. Which I'd rather.
I haven't looked into it.
I prefer Hungry Jack's over Macca's. Personally, I'm a bit of a connoisseur.
Mitch throwing out some wild theories today.
I fucking Hungry Jack's is way better than Macca's, 100%. Better service, better food.
Okay, I can't eat any of that shit. So, I don't know.
Oh yeah, that's
right. I've got no horse in this race.
Yeah,
yeah. Little gluten free boy.
Yeah, he'll shit himself otherwise.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, in all fairness, people that eat it
are gonna do
it anyway without the gluten-free
stuff. Oh, yeah.
I was tempted by the devil yesterday. Brady shouted KFC for everyone.
Oh, yeah. How did that?
I had some, like, mostly chips and I had one piece of chicken. And so far, I've been all right. But
so far.
I picked up a lot of the skin.
Oh, that's a glowing review. So far, I'm all right.
I'm all right. It hasn't hit me yet. Yeah. But, you know, things can happen. It's one of those things that's like allergies where, like, if there's a little bit of dust, like, it's not going to make you, like, break out in, like, an allergic reaction.
Right.
But if you're exposed to heaps of it, it's just like, oh, I'm fucked now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Do you think that's been your problems your whole life?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
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 Still not putting on any weight, but...
You need to do steroids.
Yeah.
Like our friend.
Yeah. Who the next guest on the podcast can sort me out with that.
He just cancelled.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Never mind.
He's stuck in Sydney waiting for an electric car to charge.
Trying to find his keys. Yeah.
Just roiding out. Just some roid rage.
Oh,
just,
dude. If he freaks out at the club... We can't stop him. Like, there's nothing we can do. He threw Brady through a door once, so...
You can stop him. You just got to, like, tranquilize him with, like, ketamine or something.
Yeah. Yeah, distract him with a joint.
But once the horse is bolted, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. Much like allergies.
Yeah.
If you medicate beforehand, you'll be fine.
Yeah. You got any bits you're working on, Ethan?
Oh, I knew that was coming.
Knew that was coming and still unprepared.
Still unprepared.
What episode of this is the podcast? Yeah. And you're still like, oh, fuck, you've cornered me again.
Yeah. You've been writing?
There's something on my phone. I'm trying to think of what it is. You go, and I'll try and think of what I wrote down.
I don't know if I mentioned this. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned this last week. I'm trying to write a bit on, like, I spent my entire 20s just being a piece of shit.
Mm.
And, like, I got to about 28 and just embraced it. Like, I'm that guy. I'm the guy who fucks up a lot. Like, I'm the guy who'll record your entire set and put it up online and forget to tell you. Like, yeah, that's me. Like, I'm a hard worker, but, like, I have to be a hard worker because I'm doing twice as much work because I fuck it up the first time. Like,
right.
That's my thing. So it's like you embrace it, and it's also it works out great because people find out you're a fuck up and they just stop asking you to do things. Like, I had one job on the podcast, which was to upload the podcast. I think it went for a week. Ethan's just like, nah, we can't. Like, we can't rely on this guy whatsoever. It's a miracle that I turned up today.
I think you forgot to do it, and then you named the title, like, wrong. And
yeah.
Just like, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
I was, like, editing the all the shots for the No Holds Barred show in the other resolution. Yeah. You're like, I can help. And I'm like, I don't want you to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's more work for me.
Yeah. Like,
teaching you how to do it and then you fuck it up, I would rather just do it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, I accept that.
Learn it on your own time.
Yeah. So, like, but I've also been getting, like, I've been doing really well at work lately, like getting a lot of really positive feedback. Got nominated for, like, an award. Like, I've saved some people a fucking lot of money. Like, I've been doing really well, and it's freaking me the fuck out because it's breaking this entire fucking universe that I built for myself of being a piece of shit, and I don't know what to do. It's like, when is the fucking penny going to drop? Like, when are they going to realize, oh, no, this guy's actually a fucking idiot. He's just gotten really lucky for the last 6 months, like, consistently.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm trying to ride on at the moment.
Yeah, it's a good premise.
Yeah, and...
But you'll probably fuck it up.
Yeah, and I was looking at, like, photos of myself as a kid, and, like, when I grew up, like, I didn't have the childhood that a lot of kids nowadays had growing up where... You know, my parents just fucking let me loose in the neighborhood at 7 years old. Mm-hmm. So I was just, like, always on my bike, like, always riding around the neighborhood, just fucking, you know, living life, fucking throwing rocks at cars.
Yeah.
And it's just like, man, I was looking at myself. I'm like, man, I was a van owner's wet dream. Like, it's fucking, why didn't I ever get molested? Like, what was wrong with me?
Like, you're an ugly kid, Mitchell.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank your lucky stars for that.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Liam, have you been working on anything?
Yeah, I've been working on a bit. I've been trying to work on it for so long now. It's actually a bit about childhood, is that being raised by a single mom who's also a nurse. And it was always the idea, it's like, so she's a nurse, so she must have been very nurturing. And I was like, yeah, she was. But she was also very... Like, she's seen a lot of shit. Like, she's, like, taking care of people, like, in their, like their final moment.
Yeah.
Like she's seen a lot of death. So she is, she will say things unintentionally that are horrifying and not realize how bleak and horrifying they are. Because I got this one bit. Like I was thinking of like when I was young getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, like the conversations your parents will bring up in trying to dissuade you from getting a tattoo.
Yeah.
They'll say, you won't be able to get a job. You know, when you get older, it's going to look weird.
Yeah.
You know?
You think it's cool now?
You think it's cool now, but later, and then, you know, laser, you know, it's very painful.
Yeah.
You know, you'll go, and I had that, all those thoughts going through my head. It's like, well, no, I've got answers for all these. I've got this, and it's very, very meaningful. I've thought about this tattoo, you know, it's like, and I would, and then I just mentioned to my mom, it's like, oh, I want to get a tattoo. And she said, oh, you know, the thing about tattoos is that they're a great place for melanomas to hide. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, that beats it. Cancer beats any argument.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, no, as a bald redhead, that's something you really need to consider.
Yeah. That's like, but it's like, you weren't expecting it. Like, you had this place, like, oh, well, this. And so she suddenly turned into the fucking, like, 3D chess. I was like, I didn't even know we were playing. I didn't even know we're playing these moves.
Yeah.
It's like going up to your mum and going like, oh, I'm thinking about dyeing my hair.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's like, well, that's just going to make you an easy target for the sniper. It's like, what? What are we talking about?
What sniper? I didn't know that sniper.
I wasn't even thinking about that. But yeah, she was just like, and she didn't mean it in a malicious way. It's just something she's dealt with. She's had to deal with. And another bit of trying to work that in is like, when she retired, she went on a cruise. Like it was like one of those really big cruises, like those months long cruises that go around the entire world.
I couldn't think of anything worse than being stuck on a boat.
I found out that the hard way.
Oh, you went?
I went because my mum bought a ticket and she was just going to go by herself. You know?
Yeah,
and then she realized that, if she only paid a fraction more money, she could have someone with her because they charge you extra when you just go by yourself. So it's like, if I just throw in a bit of money, you can come along with me. And I just finished university at that point, so I had a lot of free time on my hands. So I thought, oh yeah, I'll come with you.
Yeah, this will be fun.
Yeah. Not realizing the longer the cruise is, the older the average passenger on that cruise is.
Yeah.
So I am there and I am the youngest by, I want to say, at least 2 decades. they were so old. These passengers were so old. This is how old they were. There came a running joke with the events organizer when, you know, give these morning announcements.
Yeah.
That he would say, guys, just to let you know, the disco is opened, and everyone would just laugh. And I was like, we're not going to the disco. We're almost dead.
Yeah.
And it was so, and that's another thing about having a nurse for a mum is that she has like this sixth sense when it comes to telling whether or not someone's about to die. You know, like those cats that you hear those stories about cats in retirement homes that will just go into the rooms.
Yeah.
And just lie on the bed and then that night that person will die.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's like the cat knew.
Yeah. Like, so your mum's sneaking into people's rooms and sleeping in their bed.
Just like, yep, this one.
Oh, and
you should go to the disco tonight. Have fun.
Yeah. Maybe one last dance. But that was time. The cruise where they'll have you know, you'll be seated with a bunch of people at dinner. So you're just a bunch of people. And I remember, like, you know, I tried to make the most of it. So I'm just, like, talking to these people. And, you know, they're old people. So they've got stories.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, this is so interesting. And I remember, like, talking to my mom. I'm really vibing with David. Like, David is a really funny guy.
Don't spend too much time on David.
That's what I was saying. It's like, maybe not spend too much time today. It's like, you know, maybe say your final words before dessert.
Give David a big goodbye tonight.
And then the next
give him his favorite food.
There were so many deaths on that cruise. It was insane.
The amount of fuel they must spend in fucking helicopter rides. Or do you think they've got their own morgue on on the boat?
No, I think every cruise ship has a morgue. I don't think any morgue on a cruise ship got as much as use as ours cruise did. Yeah. But you know, it's there just in case.
Yeah. That one's not in the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that room's not in the tour.
Oh, so many people died on the cruise. So many people died on the little stints, like, you know, you go out and you go somewhere and someone would come back.
Dude, it's like a war zone.
And finally, I went out and I'm like, God. Okay, we're away from the cruise. We're away from the smell of death. We get on a bus. I think we're in Papua New Guinea or somewhere up there, Timor maybe. We get on a bus. The bus driver hits a guy and kills and it's what? Like, we don't, I can't escape death. This cruise is wall-to-wall death.
Fuck, dude. You come back with PTSD.
Yeah. He hits it. And almost like, and suddenly someone gets on, covers the bus driver in a blanket and like immediately takes, like he's immediately in witness protection or something.
Oh.
And it's like, it's insane. It was crazy.
that's going to be a great bit. Oh. That's going to be a great bit.
I feel like it's so centered around death. I was like, I need this. It requires a level of like nuance and delicacy that I need to get this right. Otherwise, I'm just feel like I'm making fun of death. And I was like, that's not the point. It's
Just the whole situation. You're like, oh, yeah, I'll go on this lovely cruise with my mother. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
You come back with a 1,000-yard stare. You're just like, fuck, man, I saw some shit.
I remember that laugh. I remember that laugh the passengers had. It's like, the disco is open. And just the laugh of, like, it wasn't a joyful laugh.
Yeah.
It's like kind of like that weak laugh, that sort of resigned laugh that is like,
yeah,
I can't do anything about this now. Yeah. We're almost dead.
Yeah. You know? Fuck. I thought my cruise was bad. It was only 10 days. Yeah. We only had one guy die on that one.
Amateur.
Yeah, I know.
Amateur.
I know.
What happens if the morgue gets too full?
Oh,
do they just start lobbing them overboard?
Yeah, like, burial at sea. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah.
That's crazy.
If I die on a cruise ship, I want to be buried at sea. Yeah. That'd be sick.
Buried at sea. They just dump you. That's what buried at sea is. We put you in a bag. We throw you overboard.
I want to be. I want to be buried at sea, but really close to shore, so I can ruin someone's arvo. It's my fat, bloated body, blue, floating up on the beach.
It's still gone. No, it's Mitch going.
I want to be tied to a heavy weight and then have that weight. I want to go down. I want to just like straight down to the bottom of the ocean. I don't want this.
No. Floating around business.
Yeah.
I cannot top that. That was fantastic. I've got one little thing that I just thought of the other day, and it was because of that thing that you shared on Facebook, Mitch, about those laws that they want to pass.
Yes, I did want to talk about that.
So they're trying to like pass laws to like fact check things online, basically, because, you know.
So it's an anti-false news bill.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to like introduce some fact checking to like social media and stuff like that in Australia. And I guess the argument is like you're either all of it's okay or none of it's okay type of thing. And it's like, are we just going to let people do whatever they want online and have complete freedom? That's pretty crazy because like when COVID was around, people were telling people to inject bleach and people were doing that and dying.
And by people, you mean the president? President of the United States?
Absolute morons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that angle, but there's also like, I don't know, like to me, the funny part of it is that like the people that are going to be most angry about this legislation being passed are the exact morons who need that legislation to survive because it's like Darwinian sort of like you're not smart enough to figure this one out, buddy. You take shit at face value all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
If anyone needs some fact-checking done for you, it's you.
Yeah.
And you're against it. Okay, you're actively like, it's just insane to me. Like, that's what I'm trying to, like, work out how to make that funny.
Yeah, it's also a question of, like, it's good on paper when you say, oh, we're going to stop fake news. We're going to fact-check everything. And it's like when they try... A couple of years ago, when they said we're gonna make the internet better, we're gonna make sure that you know child porn and stuff like that on the internet. It's like you don't have that power. You don't have that power, and you don't have that understanding.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, even if you do try and censor it, people find another way around.
Yeah, particularly something as much something that is constantly evolving. Like when you talk to like the average politician, that's like zero understanding of how the internet works. Yeah. It's like
they should be on a cruise.
You should be on a cruise. You know,
yeah,
on your last legs, laughing about not going to the disco. That is your life. No,
instead,
now.
You're like, I'm gonna fight the internet.
Yeah. Not to mention, we're going to stop people from lying. Cunts, yous are the ones who always lie. They're the ones fucking pushing false narratives. They're the ones fucking locking us down for a fucking fake pandemic.
It's
only going to kill people who take cruises. Yeah. It's all. It's fine.
It's very hard to say when you're...
We're getting this. We're the first podcast that's on the chopping block if they fucking start fake news filters.
No, they said that you could... Because I actually read the fact sheet on it.
Mm.
And it's like, for media production and stuff like that, you can still put out whatever you want. They can't target individuals. They can't find individuals. Like, all that sort of shit.
I don't trust the government.
No, neither do I.
Yeah. So it's just like...
I'm just reading what's on the bill.
Yeah.
And none of that's on it from what I've read.
Yeah. They're not... You can't trust them. So it's just like, it's either all okay or none of it's okay. That's the way it works. And they'll abuse it. And we can't trust the fucking government. So do not let them pass this bill, please. Like, if you fucking... I don't get political much, but...
But let me get super political.
We do not need this bill. Fake news isn't an issue. And the stuff that they were saying was fake, a lot of it's turned out to be true.
Well, I love a bit of fake news.
Me too.
Fake news is like... It's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
A little bit of spicy news.
Like when they throw something out there and you just watch people jump onto it and you're like, these people are morons. This is fantastic. This is the world I live in.
Yeah. Let people inject bleach.
Yeah.
If you're going to inject bleach, just do it. Like, I'm all for it. Like, fuck it. We got too many people yelling out of car windows. Like, those are the people.
First on the block, too.
Those are the people we're going to attack.
Yeah.
We are locked in for the next No Holds Barred show. It is going to be on the 18th of November. 5:30 PM. Subject to change, of course. But this show...
Subject to people signing the waiver, of course.
Yeah, subject to Ethan's housemate signing the waiver. but, yeah, we're fucking...
Well, reading the terms and conditions, not signing a waiver.
That's
ridiculous.
We're not actually...
If anyone's going to take us to court over it, we're going to be like, no.
Yeah.
Just take that down.
Are your conditions just going to be, do it, you pussy? Just
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Don't be a little bitch. It's just...
Yeah. it's in the waiver. Yeah. Do not be a little bitch. This is a show that we'll be starting up. Plan is to do it every 3 months.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Yeah.
Please write stuff for it if you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Don't do your regular bits. The show is to do... And Bradley's a different scenario with that because he was emceeing. Like, the MCs can't really do fucked up gear up the top. They've still got a job to do.
Yeah.
I understand that. But if you're on the show, write some crazy shit.
Because that's what we're after.
Stick. Yeah.
Yeah. Ben fucking
doesn't
open the show.
Doesn't have to be fucking anti-woke crap either.
No.
Don't go out there and try and fucking start a riot. Write what's funny, what you think's funny. You wouldn't think a regular crowd, you're like, oh, maybe that's a bit too fucked up for them. Write that.
Yeah, because that's what the crowd's there to see.
Yeah.
We're not out here.
And it better be funny. Don't bloody write some crazy insane harebrained theory that doesn't have a punchline.
Listen, experiment. Yeah. Try anything. But if you fuck up.
Oh, yeah. If you bomb. If you bomb, we're playing a clip on the podcast and we're roasting you. And it's like, that's also part of the reason why we're using these clips.
Listen, it's no
holds barred. That wasn't in the waiver either, but apparently.
Yeah. It's no holds barred. There's also no net. So if you fall, you'll fall. You're falling. Oh, yeah. There's nothing to catch you. Come on, do it.
Yeah, do it. Do it. It was a great show, though. I'm looking forward to the next one. Me and Ethan will be co-hosting. It is a good show.
And it's a fantastic crowd, too. You can really swing for the fences. And, you will be able to do stuff that you, like, if you did at a regular open mic, you're not going to, it's probably not going to fly. So
Yeah. So get around it. Check us out on Facebook, You're Joking. Instagram, Old Mate Bentley, Mitch Coyne Comedian. You on Instagram, Liam?
Yeah, technically I am. I rarely ever post, and when I do, it's more just my illustrations and stuff. Nothing to do with comedy because I'm completely bad at self-promotion. It still feels, even at this stage, it still feels really weird promoting myself.
Clips and, out and things like
it's
that.
It's like, ooh, look how funny I am. Follow me. And
it feels dirty, but you got to do it.
Yeah.
This is the world we live in now.
Do you want to plug your uni gig?
Bar on the Hill, this coming Thursday, so I think it's the 17th.
So this won't be out, but...
okay, well then, forget about it.
Never mind then.
If you weren't there, you missed a fucking...
You missed a great show.
Great set and a great debate.
Can you just roast the debaters afterwards?
I think the debate's about AI, so I've been trying to think of, like, some stuff that I can... Because I got some, like, random, like, stuff that I can sort of, like... I'm trying to massage my usual set into, like, something. Yeah. Like, oh, this is also vaguely tangential, you know, related to debates, but I'm trying to some, like, AI stuff.
Maybe that the joke that you've got about global warming and, like, the end of the world.
I was thinking, I was thinking of putting that in. Racist on a bus.
Yeah.
Excuses and stuff like that. Yeah. You know? It's like, I got 20 minutes of material at least, but I was trying to think of some actual material that I might be able to write specifically for this, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I honestly...
Because if you're doing it all by yourself, you've kind of got to, like, almost, like, MC yourself into the thing. Or is there an MC that's going to...
I genuinely don't know. I genuinely don't. Because I think it's, like, 2 hours, and I'm, like, my set's, like, smack dab in the middle of it, so...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because if you have to introduce yourself, that's going to eat up, like, a couple of minutes anyway of being, like, hey, I'm this guy. I'm here to do comedy... sort of thing. Yeah. Like, you can't just go straight up there and just hit them with jokes straight off the bat. They'll be like, what's going on? Hopefully the MC properly introduces you.
Yeah. Mm.
If there is one. But that could be crazy.
Yeah.
We'll get you back on after. If it goes well, we don't want to hear from you. But if it goes bad.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be too bad. I've done a bunch of uni gigs, but I don't think I've ever had a really, like, great set at a uni gig.
Yeah.
Mm. But I haven't had, like, fucking terrible ones. Like, they're not even making, in my terms of, like, my worst sets ever, they're not even making the top 100.
Yeah, you know? No, they're not even close to the top 5 of the Crown and Anchor.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that place.
Let's not talk about it. No, let's end it there.
Musselbrook's still my worst. Death threats are
death threats at a gig. Yeah, yeah.
That's peak. That's peak bad gig.
Threat of assault. Yeah, probably top of the list. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll fucking see you next time.
Bye.